Welcome to In the Money, sponsored by Flyer Financial Technologies, the company that builds cutting-edge technology designed to solve asset and wealth management firms' toughest trading workflows. In this podcast, we help advisors and asset managers understand how technology is transforming the wealth tech sector. We'll cover how to leverage technology for faster, smarter investment decisions, megatrends, and more. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to In the Money. I'm your host, Rusty Summer. I'm fortunate enough to be joined today by my friend Joel Bruckenstein from Technology Tools for Today, aka T3. If you don't know Flyer FT, we power the fintech you love and use every day. So, hey, Joel, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well. It's good to see you today in Las Vegas. It's always been one of my favorite conferences, although I love the T3 conference too.
I should hope so.
I do. You know, just maybe a quick introduction for those who don't know. Joel's been a consultant for 30 years and founder and producer of the T3 conferences. He's been reviewing and is a foremost authority on technology for wealth management firms. And so I thought, you know, with that in mind, maybe that's where we kind of spend a little bit of time today, because you have witnessed firsthand that evolution of technology and its role in the delivery of financial advice. So why don't we say this? So you know, discuss some of the key takeaways or major themes that you're seeing today in the marketplace.
Sure. Well, obviously the technology has changed from 30 years ago. I remember reviewing DOS programs, and I remember trying to talk advisors into using email and to getting a website. So things have obviously advanced. The good news is that it's advanced a lot. But I think a lot of the big themes are the same.
Right.
It's, you know, how do you implement technology in a thoughtful way? If you're buying multiple point solutions, how do you make them all work together? How do you get operational efficiencies? How do you create a great client experience? And how do you incorporate technology into that great client experience? So I think a lot of the themes are exactly the same. It's just the tools are a hell of a lot better than they used to be.
Right. And I think that as a technologist, right, Flyer Financial, and we produce portfolio management and trading tools, but I think that people sometimes overuse the word innovative.
Yep.
What would you define as, like, how would you define innovative or to innovate, like, really?
Well, yeah, I think the difference is there's things that are sort of dramatic steps forward, and then there's kind of evolution.
Sure.
So I think evolution is happening all the time, right?
Right.
I mean, pretty much every product, including yours, gets incrementally better every year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we hit these milestones where there's a large leap in the technology that really changes the way people do business.
Right.
And that's real innovation. So if you think, you know, the advent years ago of email,
The
advent of Windows moving away from DOS, and PCs where advisors with, you know, these little computers could actually do portfolio management where they couldn't really before because they couldn't afford, you know, large mainframe computers. You know, more recently, the iPhone.
I mean, sure.
This industry has historically been slow to adopt new technologies. At the time, that was probably by our industry the thing that got adopted quicker than anything we've ever seen, you know, followed by the iPad, and now, you know, the latest innovation is AI. So these are disruptive technologies that really change the way people do business.
Yeah, and it is kind of interesting you bring up, you know, smartphones and whatnot, because that really was at the beginning of or maybe it was something that really pushed us to adopt and grow faster and develop new technologies, because it changed people's perspectives on how they wanted to be served.
Right. Well, I think before the iPhone, you know, if you think of like what a BlackBerry was, it was really an email machine. It was a one-trick pony. And all of a sudden, people realized they had a computer in their pocket.
Right.
Right? And now, every client, it's probably the first thing they pick up in the morning, and it's the last thing they put down before they go to bed at night. So if you're not on the homepage of their device,
right,
whether it's Android or iPhone, you pretty much don't exist.
Yep. No, I agree. So, your conference is coming up soon.
March 3rd through 6th.
Correct. What year is this?
What year is the next conference?
No, this is what version?
Oh, it's our 21st conference.
Okay.
It's our 22nd year, but we missed 1 year because of COVID.
COVID, yeah. Wow, that's an incredible run, and I think it speaks testaments to the value people derive out of coming. What would you like to highlight about the 2025 conference that you already have in place? Something that maybe people should look forward to and why they should come?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. The biggest challenge that I hear at every one of these conferences I go to is organic growth.
Right.
Right. Everybody's talking. They have this 3% number. If you back out market gains, organic growth is 3%, which is pretty pathetic, honestly.
Sure.
And so we need to fix that. And so the big theme of T3 this year will be organic growth. And how do you get organic growth? It's by improving your workflows. It's standardizing your business practices. And it's by embracing technology. A lot of advisors are still working with tech stacks, you know, that they haven't really given a major upgrade to in 3 to 5 years. And that's unacceptable, right? I mean, if you haven't reviewed your tech, and we used to say every 3 years, now it's every year, you're falling behind.
Right.
And so obviously we'll have a lot of what I would call practical information for advisors on how to adopt AI to their business to make them more efficient and to serve clients better. But also there's just a host of new products that are targeting the advisor market, new wealth tech providers, and you have to familiarize yourself with them as well as what your current providers are doing, what's on their roadmap, should you be looking at somebody else. Like if your provider is not, you know, innovating,
right,
and evolving, they're probably not the provider for you going forward.
Yeah.
Period.
What emerging trends do you think are going to be highlighted at the conference?
Well, like I said, I think a lot of it, we've talked about mass personalization, mm-hmm. so personalization at scale, certainly. Further automating workflows, I think, is one of the biggest. There's still, even with folks that have workflow built into their CRM, for example, there's still a lot of human interaction that goes into that, and I think probably 80 to 90% of it can be eliminated. And, you know, that saves time, that saves money. It's a better, quicker deliverable to the client.
Sure.
The other thing is anytime these days that you have to do manual data entry, it's an opportunity to screw up, to get an IGO, right?
Yeah.
And so all of the things that a computer can do and can do faster and more accurately than people are, we need to totally embrace that. And AI is just, you know, the next revolution in computing power and what it can do for you, and you're starting to see leading firms really embrace it, and we see the ROI that they're getting on it. And so it's very, very obvious to me that folks that are embracing these technologies are really, you know, advancing, and others are not.
Yeah, I think you hit it right there. Firms who are embracing and leveraging technology to enhance efficiency, improve client service, are growing their business.
Yes. That's where the organic growth in the industry is coming from, right? It's not a flat 3% across the market.
It is not.
There's some people who are growing their businesses at 15, 20%, and there's some that have negative organic growth.
So full stop, right?
Yeah, so which segment do you want to be in?
Yeah. So maybe, I think one of the things people maybe feel overwhelmed with or struggle with is evaluating technology, because, you know, as you said, it used to be every 3 to 5 years you had to do it, and now you're doing it every year. What are some strategies for evaluating new technologies and making really informed decisions about what you want to do?
Well, obviously, if you're a larger firm, you probably have somebody that's their full-time job.
Sure.
For smaller firms, there's a lot of resources out there. You know, we do a T3 tech survey every year where we survey thousands of advisors. We ask them what they use. We ask them how satisfied they are. And we also break down, you know, who are these firms? So in other words, something that may be leading technology for smaller firms may not be appropriate for larger firms and vice versa. We break all that down for you. That's not the end of your due diligence, but it's the beginning. And really, if you don't have the expertise to do it, consultants like us will come in and help you do it. And it's definitely a money saver, because if you implement a system, whatever it is, financial planning, CRM, portfolio management and accounting, and you make the wrong choice, in the long term, it's going to cost you tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. So you know, getting it right at the beginning and investing a little time and money, that's where the payoff is.
Sure. It is critically important to find the right technology and the solutions to meet very specific needs and business goals that you have.
Yeah, we say advisory firms are like snowflakes. No two are alike.
Right.
And so, you know, just because something is great for a friend of yours who happens to, you know, be practicing somewhere else doesn't mean it's great for your firm. You really need to say, well, is my business like their business? Mm-hmm. What's the same? What's different? Do we have the same client profile? You know, is our investment process the same? All of these questions, and usually the answer is no. And so, well, that may be a great tool for them. It doesn't mean it's a great tool for you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. You know, there certainly are emerging trends, but the one that I think stands out for me anyways, at least I hear the most about, and maybe I'm a little tired of it, is AI. It seems like, you know, everybody wants to talk about that. Machine learning, data analytics, and, you know, their potential impact on advisors. How do you see the trend, and in particular, how do you see it impacting the delivery of advice to the end consumer?
It's going to revolutionize it over time, and it's starting to already. So like I said, there are firms out there that sell, for example, CRM software that are leveraging AI to automate a lot of what used to be manual tasks. Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably from last year or year before, six or more new note-taking apps,
right.
You know, client meeting kind of apps. And they're not all going to probably prosper, but it was a gap in people's workflow. And certainly firms that are using it generally are very positive about it. You have firms that are using AI to help with digital marketing, for example.
Sure.
Great use of AI. And so those are all things that I think are pretty compliant or easy to make compliant. Where people are a little more gun-shy, for lack of a better term, is anything that's client-facing to do with recommendations of financial planning or investments. That's not to say it won't happen. It's just nobody wants to be the first one to be, you know, in the sights of the SEC until we have a little guidance about what's allowed and what's not.
Well, and I also think that points to the fact that for the most part, there's going to be a human involved.
Yeah, I mean, using AI doesn't, they're not mutually exclusive.
Correct.
Right? One supplements the other, and that's the way technology has always been. You know, everybody, the same thing when the robos came out years ago. People said, are they going to replace advisors? Of course not. But they're going to make advisors who are smart about how they use it more efficient. And what you see happening, you know, as a result of the rise of the robos, is now probably the majority of successful RIA firms are using models where
sure.
That wasn't the case
10
before
years ago.
The robos.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, you know my background as somebody who had a product in a large TAMP. We almost exclusively worked with IBDs.
Right.
Right. And now you are seeing, you know, that flow into, filter into the RIA space.
Absolutely.
For sure. And I think it's been needed. I think there was some resistance until some people finally figured it out and they realized, wait a minute, we can really grow our business more and we can still serve our clients just as well.
And I think a lot of that is attributable to the robos because
sure.
It made people re-examine what they were doing. And if they thought it was a threat, how do you respond to the threat?
Yeah.
It's you systematize what you're doing as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, if you're thinking about, you know, enterprise RIAs, IBDs, you know, even smaller RIAs, how can they prepare for the future and embrace innovation? Because there's so much changing right now.
It's education. It's staying on top of what's going on, right? Again, I mean, you don't have to understand how an internal combustion engine works to know how to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with technology. You don't need to understand all the nuts and bolts that go on behind the scenes, but you have to understand what it does, right? What the potential benefits are to your firm, where does it fit into your tech stack, and how it's going to benefit you and your clients.
Right. And I would say embracing innovation doesn't mean that you have to give up who you are or change your value proposition or your thesis for why you're doing what you do. It makes you potentially better.
Yeah, I would argue you probably want to be on the cutting edge of technology, but you don't want to be on the bleeding edge.
Sure.
So you don't need to be the first adopter. Yeah. But you also don't want to be the last.
I agree. Any insights from the survey that you want to share before the conference?
I mean, it's too early. We haven't even looked at the data yet. We haven't even closed the survey yet.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that's a recurring theme over the last few years is that advisors are not investing enough in third-party cyber guidance.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot of them assume that some of their providers are doing certain things, which they may or may not. A lot of them just don't understand how great the threats are. Yeah. But, you know, if we've got roughly, you know, a quarter of our respondents saying they've ever engaged with a third-party cyber expert, that's very troubling to me. Because a lot of people believe that their IT provider is a cyber expert. They are not. It's a separate function. You're laughing because you know.
Yeah.
But most people don't.
Right.
And they have an IT person. They say, oh, yeah, I'll take care of that for you. And you say, well, who's guarding against them?
Right.
There's no checks and balances, number one. And number two, it's a full-time job, cyber.
Sure.
So if you're an IT person and you know enough to be dangerous, you don't know the latest threats.
Yeah. One thing that I've enjoyed asking a number of people is kind of, you know, one thing I've enjoyed asking people is as we close out the year, is what should we expect for 2025? And if you had to make a prediction for the one big thing or the biggest trend that we'll see in 2025, what would that be?
I mean, I can point to a couple of things. I think with the new administration, there'll probably be a lighter hand in regulation, which will hopefully unleash even more innovation in the wealth tech space. But I think there's also risks, right? Because I think certain guidance needs to be provided so advisors can, you know, have a good understanding of what's allowed and what's not allowed, and if it's not allowed, why it's not allowed, and does that make sense? So I think, you know, because we're in a space where there's so much innovation, a little bit of a lighter regulatory hand would be very helpful, but I'm also cognizant of the fact with things like cyber and protecting privacy, that's also important. And advisors need to be cognizant of the fact that they are, most of them, fiduciaries.
Correct.
And they also need to be asking all the right questions about their vendors.
Yeah, I agree. And as a fiduciary, you really do have a responsibility to your client. And there is so much there that I think people need to consider and make sure that they're safeguarding.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, you know, there are real potential damages and risks to the people on the other end.
And to your business.
And to your business.
If you have a major breach, you may not have a business.
That's right. Well, Joel, thank you. It's been good to see you today. Thanks for joining today's episode of In the Money. I'm your host, Rusty Summer. I'm fortunate enough to be joined today by my friend, Joel Bruckenstein of Technology Tools for Today. If you don't know Flyer FT, we power the fintech you love and use every day. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to In the Money, the show that delivers advisors, asset managers, broker-dealers, and other technology service providers the knowledge they need to navigate this industry. Don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Flyer Financial Technologies. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only.